Hello again, Bakers. Today we're going a bit old school. Straight back to childhood favourites, jam tarts. If you grew up in the UK, these were probably one of your first baking triumphs. A bit of pastry, a dollop of jam, and suddenly you feel like Mary Berry. Simple, nostalgic, and absolutely delicious. I actually have a very clear memory of jam tarts from school. We made them in a home economics class, and I was convinced I'd impress my family. I carefully carried them home in a wobbly Tupperware box. By the time I arrived, they looked more like jam puddles than tarts. But you know what? My family ate every single one. That's the beauty of baking. Even when it looks a mess, it still tastes great. So recipe 5, jam tarts. Here's what we need. 200 grams or 7 ounces of plain flour. 100 grams or 3.5 ounces of cold butter cubed. 2 tablespoons of icing sugar. 1 egg yolk, and 2 to 3 tablespoons of cold water, and about 6 tablespoons of jam. Any flavour, your choice, whatever's your favourite. Step 1, preheat the oven. Fan 170, electric 190, or gas mark 5. And then grease a tart tin. Or a standard muffin tin. Step 2, pastry. Rub the flour and butter together with your fingertips until it looks like breadcrumbs. And then add the icing sugar and then the egg yolk. And a splash of cold water until it comes together into a dough. Wrap it up and chill in the fridge for 30 minutes. Pastry likes to relax, a bit like us after a long day. And step 3. Roll out your dough, not too thin, and cut circles. Pop them into your tin. Poke them down round, make sure they fit nicely into every little corner. Don't overpress them, but just nicely. Then add a spoonful of jam in each one. And just a spoonful, mind you. Because jam is sneaky. It bubbles and it expands. And suddenly, you've got a volcano. Step 4. Bake for 12 to 15 minutes. Until the pastry is golden. The jam will be molten lava. So let them cool before eating. Seriously, I once burnt the roof of my mouth with jam tarts so badly, I couldn't taste anything for 2 days. So learn from my pain. Now to Baker's Corner. Why chill the pastry? Because cold butter equals flaky pastry. If your kitchen's warm, even stick your rolling pin in the fridge for 10 minutes. It makes a difference. And that's it. Simple, charming jam tarts. They're quick, they're cheap, and they bring instant nostalgia. So to our next recipe, we're sticking with pastry, but we're cheating a little. Puff pastry. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to fold in butter 200 times. We're using ready rolled, and we're going to make cheese straws. Snacky, golden, dangerously Moorish. So it doesn't get any easier than this today. We're talking about puff pastry. Now traditionally puff pastry is, well, a labourer of love. Layers and layers of folding, chilling, rolling, more folding. And honestly, it's like pastry yoga. But here's the good news. Shop bought, puff pastry is completely acceptable. And yes, even professional chefs say so. And today, we're going to use it to make one of the easiest and tastiest snacks ever, cheese straws. They're golden, flaky, salty, and vanish from party plates faster than you can say, help yourself. I once bought a batch to a picnic. I thought I'd be nibbling them all afternoon. They were gone in 3 minutes flat. I didn't even get one. The moral of the story is always set aside a secret stash for yourself. Recipe 6. Cheese straws. Here's what we need. 1 sheet of ready-rolled puff pastry. 75 grams or 2.5 ounces of grated cheddar cheese. Now, the stronger the cheese, the better, depending on your tastes. If you don't like strong cheese, then mild is fine. 1 beaten egg. And then to step 1. Preheat your oven. 180 fan, 200 electric, or gas mask 6. Line a baking tray with parchment paper. Step 2. Lay out your pastry. Brush it with the beaten egg. Sprinkle over that cheese. Fold the pastry in half so the cheese is tucked inside and roll lightly. You don't want too big, you don't want too small. Then cut into strips. Step 3. Take each strip, give it a twist like a corkscrew, and then place it on your tray. Brush with a little more egg for that golden shine. And then bake 12 to 15 minutes until puffed and golden. The smell of melted cheese and butter is basically happiness in the air. So, Baker's Corner. Store-bought puff pastry tip. Let it come to room temperature before unrolling, or it cracks. But don't let it get too warm, or it sticks. The sweet spot is about 10 minutes on the counter. And that's it. Cheese straws. A bake so simple, it almost feels like we're cheating. But nobody complains when they're eating them. The next episode, we're switching back to sweet. But keeping it swirly. Cinnamon buns. Fluffy, sticky, and that smell that will make your neighbours jealous. But before we go, I'd like to just share a story that happened when I was in college at Weybridge. Just something I think you might like to hear. It was during my apprenticeship at Hilliers Bakers in Farncombe that one of those unforgettable stories of pride, pastry and pure chaos took place. Every week, my workmate Bob and I attended day release at Brooklands Technical College in Weybridge. A place full of dusted benches and the smell of sponge cakes baking somewhere down the corridor. And the tutors were equally part strict and encouraging. Our tutors, Mr. Stock and Mr. Thayer, were the type who could spot a potential baker a mile away. And one day they decided that Rob and I should enter a prestigious baking competition at Caxton Hall in London. The categories were rich fruitcake, cupcakes, and Genoese fancies. Now, Rob and I were competitive, but also practical. We hatched a plan over a mug of tea. I'd make a double batch of rich fruitcake. He'd do a double of cupcakes. And we'd both make our own Genoese fancies. That way, we could each focus on what we did best and still have a hand in every section. The rule was simple. Whichever batch you made, you got first pick of your own entry. The college kitchen was a whirlwind that week. The smell of mixed spice, brandy-soaked fruit, and fresh butter filled the air. As I carefully folded in my rich fruit mixture, Bob was nearby, piping out perfectly even cupcakes. I'm in a tune to some radio program. When we packed everything up, we stood back and felt generally proud. It looked like we were sending off our best work to London. Mr. Stock and Mr. Thayer took our entries up to Caxton all themselves. We stayed behind anxiously waiting for news. A few days later, the word came back. And what news it was. I'd won two firsts, one in rich fruitcake and the other in Viennese fancies. Rob, not to be outdone, scored a first for his cupcakes and a second for the rich fruitcake. We were over the moon. Apparently, there was also a large silver cup for the best overall in the three sections. And I was supposed to have won it. Except, Mr. Thayer, bless him, had accidentally entered both sets of fancies under my name. And that meant I was disqualified from the running. All that work and the top prize slipped right through my sugary fingers. I won't lie, I was gutted. When you're young and full of ambition and mixed up feels monumental. But looking back now, it's one of those stories that makes me smile. Rob still teases me about it when we come across each other's path. You could have had that big silver cup if your name hadn't been too fancy for the form. So no silverware for me that day, but two firsts, a great friendship, and a story that still gets a laugh. And maybe that's the real prize after all. Thanks for listening.